Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Thank you so very much for joining me. I missed you. We took a little bit of a vacation. Hope you enjoyed the celebration, 4th of July, honoring and celebrating this fantastic, wonderful nation known as America, the U.S. of A. If you're new to the channel, welcome. Makes you a very smart person. Thank you so much for making the decision to stop on by, give me a chance, join in the conversation. Do me a favor, tell someone else about the show after you join into the conversation. Bring them on back. Now, for those of you who are the loyalists, the ride or dies is what I like to call. Thank you so much for your loyalty. Just so you know, I see your comments under the show. I'll be popping in to just say hello and say thank you and kind of join in the conversation down there. Now, whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is always the same, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into it, because we got to talk about New York. Now, you know your girl is originally from New York, okay, upstate, but I'm going to go call my father, okay? It's right there, right, just underneath the surface, but we need to talk about the state of New York. Now, we're not talking about California. We are not talking about Minnesota. We're going to give those blue states a rest. And we're going to talk about the Far East Side. We're going to talk about New York because we have a little bit of a contest going on right now. The state of New York is facing a little bit of a rivalry going on. So Mayor Adams has a rivalry going on as he is going for another bout of the mayoral race. Now, he's claiming himself to be an independent now. He's independent. And we have this new person, this Mom Dami. And so we need to talk about that. Who is this guy? Where'd he come from? What's he all about? And I just have to say, well, another day, another radical leftist exposed for writing a college manifesto is what he did. We're going to talk about later who he is. But apparently, this guy wrote a college manifesto that reads more like a Marxist diary than a student op-ed. Okay. Now, this Zoran Mamdani, the New York assemblyman turned aspiring mayor, God help us. Seriously. Apparently spent his college years playing revolutionary in print, blaming Israel, demonizing the West, and shaking his symbolic middle finger at anything remotely resembling American values. He even grew a beard. Okay, he grew a beard just to stick it to white people and racism. We're going to get into that a little later. Most folks grow facial hair because they're lazy on weekends. Or some of them grow them on purpose because they think that's the best look. You know, like, you know, Matt Walsh, he says, if you don't have a beard, don't watch my show. But this guy apparently grew a beard out of spite. This Mamdami weaponized his chin fuzz in the name of identity politics. That's commitment, I suppose. I don't know. But let's be clear. Anyone promoting a boycott of Israel, our strongest, and let me say that again, Israel is our strongest democratic ally in the Middle East, isn't just misguided. He's dangerous. Know that. He's dangerous. Mamdani's writings fall right in line with the anti-American playbook. Demonize Israel, lecture the public about white privilege, and somehow tie it all back to colonialism. I mean, they have a one-trick pony, right? They have the same script, and they just play it over and over and over again. And you just have to wonder, when are the people of New York going to wake up? Well, maybe it's the same answer as, when are the people of California going to wake up? And then maybe it's the same answer as, when are the people of Minnesota going to wake up, right? It's a greatest hits album of progressive grievance is what this is. And now he wants to bring that worldview to the mayor's office in a city already choking on crime, anti-Semitism, illegal immigration, and woke bureaucracy. With all its troubles, New York does not need a Muslim mayor pushing anti-Western ideology disguised as progress. That's not what they need. It needs a leader who loves this country, okay? Not someone who wants to flip it off. Now, we're going to talk about his past writings because they aren't youthful indiscretions. They're roadmaps is what they are. They show us exactly how he thinks. America is the problem. You've heard this song and dance before. America is the problem. White people are the enemy. Israel is the villain, and being offended is a virtue. His board wasn't just for a rebellion. It was a signal to the activist left that here's their guy, right? He's the guy. He's their guy. Now he's shaved and suited up, pretending to be a polished politician. But do not be fooled. And we're not. I know you're not. But, you know, maybe some people are watching right now and they're just not that educated. Please do not be fooled. A Marxist in a blazer is still a Marxist. Okay. Now, Mamdani wrote 32 articles for this Bowden Orient during his 4 years studying at Maine's prestigious Bowdoin College from 2010 to 2014, including an article his senior year promoting an academic boycott of Israel. Now, here's a taste of his writings, right? I'm just going to take a few excerpts out of this. This, and I quote him, "This academic and cultural boycott aims to bring under scrutiny the actions of the Israeli government and to put pressure on Israeli institutions to end the oppressive occupation and racist policies within both Israel and occupied Palestine." Now, please know that Mamdani co-founded his college's Students for Justice in Palestine. He founded that organization there, okay? That's who we're dealing with. And as a reminder, okay, Students for Justice in Palestine has become one of the biggest drivers of anti-Israel protests on college campuses since the October 7th Hamas massacre, with some going so far as to celebrate the attack. That's what we were watching. It was disgusting, okay? Mamdani was taking issue in his article with Bowdoin's college's president, Barry Mills, opposing the boycott. Now, he wrote this, and I quote, "Lastly," and I'm taking an excerpt here, "lastly, Mills regrettably makes no mention of Palestinians or Palestine. The call for the boycott comes in response to more than 60 years of Israeli colonial occupation of Palestine. When Mills speaks of the free exchange of knowledge, ideas, and research and open discourse in academia, he does so while privileging partnerships with Israeli institutions over basic freedoms for Palestinians, including the rights to food, water, shelter, and education, which many Palestinians are denied under Israeli rule." Hogwash, right? Okay, this is what the guy wrote. Now, in a 2013 op-ed, because we need to get a history of this guy, understand his mindset, where he's coming from and who he is, and who is trying to become the new governor of New York. So in a 2013 op-ed, Mamdani responded to a white student who took issue with criticism over the school's editorial page being too white by accusing him of holding white privilege. Now, this is what we have. We actually have a white male actually calling for diversity in the contributions, and somehow Mamdani found this to be white privilege in the stance. Right? It doesn't make sense. This is a white student saying there needs to be more diverse contributions to our pages and our editorials. And somehow Mamdani decided that he was practicing white privilege. But let me give you an excerpt out of this. "White males," now mind you, this is from 2013 and an excerpt about this. And I quote, "white males are privileged in their near to exclusive featuring as figures of authority in print, on television, and around us in our daily realities. We, the consumers of these media, internalize this and so believe in the innate authority of a white male's argument and the need for its publication. So white privilege is both a structural and an individual phenomenon, the former propelling the latter. Therefore, even when the individual is silent, the structures continue to exist and frame our society through their existence." I mean, can you just vomit and choke on this, right? I mean, this is who is up for mayor, you guys, okay, in New York. And we need to talk about who this guy is. Who is he? Where'd he come from? What's he all about, right? Let's talk about this. So his name is Zohran Mamdani, the Democrat Socialist Assemblyman from Queens, who seems to think Karl Marx should be on the dollar bill. Mamdani isn't just another progressive voice in Albany. He's a walking, talking rejection of American values as we know them. Born into privilege and educated at elite institutions, he now makes a political career out of railing against the very country that gave him the opportunity to succeed, right? I mean, we did this all the time. We see this in Ilhan Omar and so many others. We keep putting these kind of people in office. I mean, the people need to stop electing these type of people. Let me say that again. The people need to stop putting these types of people in office. Okay. Now, whether he's pushing for rent cancellation, promoting anti-Israel boycotts, or whining about white privilege in his college newspaper, Mamdani is less a servant of the people and more of a mouthpiece for radical leftist ideology disguised as social justice. We've seen it all before, right? We've heard this song and dance. We've seen this game played over and over and over. We know this playbook through and through. He didn't run for office to serve New Yorkers. He ran to dismantle what makes New York, New York, and America, and how they actually function. Now, this is the same Mamdani who grew a beard as a symbolic middle finger to racism, which would be laughable if it weren't so incredibly juvenile. While Americans are working hard to rebuild their communities and strengthen their families, Mamdani is busy pushing anti-capitalist fantasies and cozying up to causes that demonize our allies and embolden our enemies. We've seen characters like this through and through, and unfortunately, they are in all three branches of our government. He wants a New York where criminals are coddled, cops are demonized, and taxpayers foot the bill for failed socialist experiments. In other words, he wants a repeat of the Biden administration. This isn't leadership, folks, okay? You know that. I know that. It's not leadership. It's indoctrination with a suit on, okay? Republicans, and frankly, any freedom-loving American, should see Mamdani for what he is. He's a canary in a coal mine for the far left's ultimate plan to transform our constitutional republic into a socialist state. Know what you're looking at. Understand what you're... Everyone since the Biden administration, no matter how you identify politically, should be smarter about how each party votes, how they think, how they move, how they operate. Okay? The playbook is out there. The Democrat mayoral challenge is this. Now, as if the far left grip on New York politics wasn't suffocating enough, we have this Zohran Mamdani, who is reportedly eyeing a challenge to Mayor Eric Adams. Now let's pause for a moment and let that sink in. Yes, Mamdani, the same guy who cheers on anti-Israel boycotts and blames capitalism for all of life's ills, now wants the keys to the entire city. And while Adams has hardly been a beacon of strong leadership, and he has failed in his role as mayor, replacing him with someone like Mamdani would be like jumping from the frying pan into a socialist dump fire. Adams at least attempts to play the moderate card when crime spikes or businesses flee. He tries to take on that role. Now, that was towards the end when he realized how popular Donald Trump was and how many New Yorkers actually love Donald Trump. He all of a sudden kind of went from left to middle. He's trying to play this whole independent kind of purple kind of guy. I don't buy it. Mamdani would likely welcome the chaos as a revolutionary opportunity. That's the kind of character we're dealing with. So what New Yorkers desperately need isn't more left-wing experiments or socialist lectures from the podium. It's not what they need. They need order. They need safety and economic revival. That's not going to come from Mamdani's protest politics. It's time for bold Republican leadership to reclaim the city and the state. And a Republican needs to get in and save New York. A Republican and conservative needs to get in and save Minnesota. A Republican and conservative needs to get in and save California and many other blue states. Leadership that supports law enforcement is what I'm talking about. Leadership that supports and champions school choice. Leadership that protects small businesses. Leadership that puts working families first, not woke ideology. New York used to be the empire of ambition and opportunity, the city that never sleeps, right? It was beautiful. It's vibracious. It's attractive. Under Mamdani and his ilk, it's becoming the capital of dysfunction and despair, right? Every time we get a blue president, or we get blue mayors, and we get other blue leadership, we're watching these fantastic, amazing cities disappear. The only way to make New York viable, to make it livable and desirable again, is to return to policies rooted in common sense, personal responsibility, and freedom. And it is up to the people of New York to vote that type of leader in. This is a man who believes the country that gave him freedom is inherently oppressive. How do you come away with that? I'm not sure. And if New Yorkers are naive enough to hand over the keys to City Hall, they will find themselves living in a social experiment where police are defunded again. The First Amendment is only for the correct speech, and anti-Semitism hides behind the language of equity. Mamdani's vision is not one of democracy. It's one of division. You got to get that. New York is already a mess. It doesn't need to become a cautionary tale for the rest of the country. That's a savage truth right there. Well, let's move on to something else. So this one kind of got me. You know, I was born, I'm a child of the 70s. I was a kid in the 80s, right? I remember when America was great and patriotic and you had Rocky and watch all these things, Top Gun and stuff like that. And I remember the Olympics and Mary Lou Retton. Well, Mary Lou Retton, she was in a tough spot, folks. Let's talk about it. Looks like America's sweetheart, one of them anyway, took a bit of a stumble. This time, not on the balance beam, but behind the wheel. Mary Lou Retton, Olympic gold medalist and once the literal poster child for clean living and Wheaties boxes, was arrested for DWI in Texas. Yes, that Mary Lou Retton. I mean, it's a bit like finding out Mr. Rogers got into a bar fight. But to her credit, she didn't pull the don't you know who I am card or blame the vodka fairy. Okay. She took full responsibility like a champ. And I got to give it to her because let's face it, sticking the landing is one thing, but owning your missteps in public takes real grace as well. All right. So I'm not going to beat her up too bad on this. Still, the image of Retton in handcuffs is a lot to process, folks, right? We have expected her to do a cartwheel during the field sobriety test and land it with a perfect 10. I mean, I'm kind of tongue in cheek here, but of course, this doesn't erase her decades of inspiration or her fight through recent health struggles. Everyone's human. I get that. She's human. Even Olympic legends are humans. They fail. They can falter. So while we're raising our eyebrows, we're also raising a glass of sparkling water and hoping she bounces back. See? Told you, I'm not going to beat her up. No pun intended. After all, we still need her autograph on that box of Wheaties. Preferably not from a court bench. So, you know, hated to see it, but we need to talk about it because it's going on in America. Now, we need to talk about Trinity Rodman. Okay, yes, Dennis Rodman's daughter. Because nothing says family bonding like getting name dropped by national sports media while actively not being in your daughter's life. Trinity Rodman, U.S. soccer star, and clearly the only Rodman anyone should be talking about in 2025, took a break from dominating on the field to clap back at ESPN for constantly dragging her absentee dad, Dennis Rodman, into the spotlight during a tennis broadcast. That's right. Yeah, she was just trying to enjoy Wimbledon and support her friend Ben Shelton, when boom, okay, the broadcast team drops the Rodman bomb like it's still the 90s and Dennis is dyeing his hair to match his emotional damage. Trinity wasn't having it, however. She quickly reminded the world that her dad isn't even in my life, quote, which you'd think ESPN might have picked up on by now. Considering she's publicly said it about a dozen times, she constantly is reminding everyone. But no, apparently every time she shows up in public, some producer feels the urge to connect her success to a guy who once wore a wedding dress to promote a book and kicked a cameraman in the groin. Trinity Rodman is a powerhouse in her own right, I guess, and she's got every right to be tired of having her accomplishment eclipsed by a man who ghosted parenting, but never to a photo op. Now, time to let the woman shine, ESPN. Let it go. Okay, I understand it's her last name. All right. She just wants to be tagged to her accomplishments and her sports and not to her dad. And maybe read a headline or two before going live. And that, my friends, is the Savage Truth. Now, here is a video of Good Samaritans doing good in America. Good to see. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, to be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.